All right, so
I know, right? Vocal exercises.
Oh, I love it. Definitely not just, you know,
making noises for making noises' sake. I would
which
never.
Which is 90% of what she does.
I would never.
No. But we've got a pretty long episode today. Not to freak you guys out. There's a lot of cool information and everything. So I figured we might as well get started. So hi. Welcome back to I'll Tell You What, a spoopy podcast. I'm Ashlyn.
And I'm Miranda.
And yeah, it's been a long week.
It's been a week.
Lots of bad things happened. Lots of okay things happened.
As you might have known. I mean, the presidential election.
I wasn't even going to talk about the presidential election. I was just talking about my personal life.
I was just saying it happened last week. So, you know, I feel like everybody was heightened in some way. You know, everybody's.
I get it.
Moods were heightened in more ways than one. Yeah.
We're not a political podcast, as we said before, but we kind of are, and we hope you all voted, because we did.
Yay! We also had a lot of technical difficulties in this past
week. Yes, so apologies for my last episode. It was not great quality, and that was because my computer decided to pull a dumb. And just apparently there was some bloatware on there that had been on the computer.
You're saying these words like I know what they
mean. It basically just slows down the entire computer is what it does. It had always been on my computer, but apparently it was like just causing it to not function. Like it kept crashing on me and freezing.
Well, and then my episode on Saturday, we had a problem with Anchor. We fixed it, sort of. We'll see if it happens again. We had a problem with our sponsor segment options. We don't have any sponsors yet, but, you know, we put them in just in case. Just in case. Yeah.
But my computer's all fixed now, so that should be okay. In the process of fixing it, I accidentally broke my external hard drive, so six years of work is...
big sad.
Gone. Hopefully we can get some of that recovered, but...
But in lighter news...
Yeah, I'm not thrilled. All of my sound effects were on there.
But in lighter news,
but in happier news,
what were you going to say?
I was going to say my news.
Oh, yes. Ashlyn has better news.
Yeah. Ashlyn, Please Hire Me Brand is now Ashlyn Newly Hired Brand.
Yay.
But
we're not going to go in details about that.
No, I'm just excited because, you know, I've been searching for a job.
She's going to stop going.
Yeah. COVID laid me low, man.
Also in good news, our season finale is coming up. You have, including this episode, 5 more episodes till episode 50. Well, I guess 4 more till episode 50. 50 would be the 5th episode. And we're actually, that will be our season finale. We'll be taking from like Thanksgiving break through the new year to recuperate and recharge and research new topics and be ready for the new year.
We're still working on solidifying a definite date for our return, but it will be early January.
Yes.
And also, along those lines, we are working on some really exciting stuff for our final few episodes here.
Mm-hmm. Securing guests.
Yeah,
Or guest.
We have a confirmed guest for
we always have Josh. He's nearby, so I'll just...
That is true. But no, we actually have a guest that is not Josh.
Yay!
For our 50th episode.
However, and he has been featured. Okay, we talked about him in several episodes.
Oh, yes. One of our first fans.
Yeah. We're just alluding to that now. I'm guessing you could probably guess who it is if you've been following us since the beginning.
But if you can't, you'll be pleasantly surprised.
Delightfully surprised.
Because he's pretty great. He's a character.
He's honestly one of the funniest people I've ever met. And that's me talking because I think I am the funniest person I've ever met. But
looks aren't everything, you know?
Yeah. I make that joke on a daily basis.
I know. It's because of our father. Dad jokes all the time.
We have a healthy dose of humility in this household.
And on that weirdness, Miranda, I'll tell you what.
What?
I'll tell you about the lizard people.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
Here we go.
We both chose really, pretty highly followed cases.
Oh, yes.
High profile. There we go. High profile.
Okay, so the lizard people.
Oh, my God.
This is Michael's favorite conspiracy, by the
way. Why isn't he the
Michael
one?
Michael Murphy.
Why isn't he talking about this then?
Because I didn't ask him to.
You suck.
Okay, so this is Michael Murphy, who you've probably heard about and from before, actually. We did have a little clip from him once before in an episode.
Didn't he just self-promote himself?
Oh, yes. No, he did. He just straight up self-promotion, which, again, by the way, if you guys want to send in your voice clips to us and just self-promote.
We're okay with it.
Absolutely. We'll love it.
Yeah.
So this is his favorite conspiracy. As he says, all roads lead back to the lizard people.
Interesting.
Oh, yes. And he says that to me quite often.
Wow.
With things that have no relation to the lizard people, so it's great.
Well, if all roads lead back to him, that clearly it makes sense, Ashlyn.
That is true. That is true. And that, I believe, is his segue into it. So the conspiracy is that our world and its leaders are secretly controlled by an ancient race of lizard people.
Like on Doctor Who.
And now we'll expand on that and get into how the theory developed, and then we'll cover the evidence and try to get an understanding for why people still entertain the theory.
Uh-huh.
As well as some problems within the theory, because that has been something that's come up a lot recently.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
So, what exactly is the theory? Do you know?
That lizard people are living in the Earth, within the Earth's crust.
You did get that right, yes.
That's because of Doctor Who.
Well, we'll talk about Doctor Who later,
they, like,
actually.
Are masquerading as world leaders, too?
Yes, that is the theory. Hey. So, the reptilian elite. According to the theory, the reptilian elite are an alien species from another dimension that were crossbred with humans, which allows them to shapeshift into a humanoid appearance.
I don't know how crossbreeding allows shapeshifting, but okay.
Miranda, have you ever...
What, have I ever crossbred with an alien? No.
Crossbred with an... Thank not you, only no. an alien, but an alien from a different dimension.
I can't say that I have,
So
Ashlyn.
How can you say that they can't shapeshift, Miranda?
this is getting painful for me, isn't it?
Philip Bump, who is... Yeah, he's a writer at the Washington Post and also a lizard person scholar. And no, I don't know what that means.
A lizard person scholar. Is that, do they have like a degree, a certificate for that?
I don't
like,
know.
Like, does he have it hanging in his house that says lizard person or people scholar?
I hope so, quite frankly.
What kind of like tassel do you get, or what kind of what sash do you get for graduation for that? Is it like scaly or something?
You know, I don't know, because then they might confuse him for the reptilian elite, and that's like a whole other thing that he might not want to get into. So he posts a bit on lizard people conspiracy boards and whatnot, forums on the internet. And so he actually gave a list as to how to tell if someone is a lizard person.
Okay.
So his description of people that could be a lizard person... They have red hair.
I literally just glanced over and I went, oh no.
They have a love of space.
Casual.
They have low blood pressure.
Huh.
They have unexplained scars on their body. They have green eyes.
I suddenly feel unsafe. Oh wait, I have green eyes. No, I have hazel eyes. Thank you. Get out of here.
That sounds like what a lizard person would say. That's all I'm saying.
I don't have low blood pressure.
I know, I do.
Ooh, us combined.
No, but they have good eyesight or hearing.
Well, neither of us have good eyesight, and I have low-end hearing loss.
We both have low-end hearing loss. It's a problem. And a sense of not belonging to the human race.
I don't want to belong to the human race. Is that...
There's a difference.
That,
no. We have a shame.
Why? Okay, why throughout history, though, have people always been making up these weird things about redheads? Why is it always the redheads that are weird, okay?
Because they can't tell.
Can't help it.
They can't tell the gene progression, I think, because it's like an uncertain gene interaction.
Because they're mutated recessive genes.
Yes, and so the thing is...
So they can appear wherever they friggin' want.
Yeah, and so they don't act like, you know, normal recessive genes at all.
No.
So these descriptions are not widely accepted... amongst all the theorists. But, you know,
especially the sometimes ones.
Sometimes we like to have some notes on what to look out for, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Ashlyn, looking at you.
This is about the love of space
unsafe.
Thing, isn't it?
I feel unsafe.
So, yes, they do live in caves in the Earth. And some alien abductees have actually claimed to have had contact with...
Of course they have.
...lizard people.
Maybe they did on the Skinwalker Ranch.
Well, in 1967, Ashland, Nebraska Police Sergeant Herbert Schreimer reported losing time after encountering a strange object, and he found a red welt on his neck.
Ashland. Mm-hmm.
You're not funny.
I'm hilarious.
Anyway, he then underwent hypnotherapy, where he reported that he was taken aboard a spaceship occupied by slightly reptilian humanoids with winged serpent emblems on their chests.
Interesting.
And a lot of people say that this was a hoax, which, well, I mean, fair, but like,
the government, however, the government has all but come right out and say, yeah, there's definitely aliens.
I know, right?
They keep beating around the bush like, I can neither confirm nor deny.
A wink, a wink.
I can't.
Okay, so the history of this theory. Mm-hmm. And this is where it starts to get really interesting and then super intrigued. Bizarre. So trying to figure out how the theory actually started and like where it actually started is tricky. So some believe the theory may have originated in Robert E. Howard's Conan the Barbarian fiction.
Okay.
Conan the Barbarian was basically the first kind of like sword and sorcery book series. Robert E. Howard, he was a pulp fiction author born in 1906, and his writings cover a large number of subgenres. Mm-hmm. He's actually considered to have created several different subgenres, not just the sword and sorcery. His home life was strange, and his family was poor. His father was a physician that often fell victim to get-rich-quick schemes, which ultimately earned the resentment of his mother. Although he was interested in books and learning, he hated authority. With a burning
same.
Passion.
No, I'm just kidding. Well.
So, thing is, Conan the Barbarian was the first literary mention of lizard people.
Okay, so he made it up.
Not necessarily. Like, he might have heard it from someone else. That sort of thing.
He's the first person who wrote it down. So Conan the Barbarian is not Dave the Barbarian.
No, although I'm 99% sure that Dave the Barbarian was derived from Conan the Barbarian. Mm-hmm. Conan the Barbarian is actually an incredibly famous work. But a lot of the media surrounding Conan the Barbarian, like the Arnold Schwarzenegger movies or the comic books, are more modern interpretations, which is probably for the best because Robert E. Howard was kind of a super racist. Anyway.
Of course he
was. We'll get into that later, though. In the Conan the Barbarian fiction, the lizard people were referred to as serpent men, humanoid in body and with reptilian heads, and they lived in underground passages and were able to shift their appearance to completely human at will. They were also capable of mind control, which they used alongside their shape-shifting in order to infiltrate human society.
I think I recall all of this from the Doctor Who episode, yes.
So, his reptilian beings were adopted alongside H.P. Lovecraft's themes by artist and writer Clark Ashton Smith. And together, the three men laid the foundation for the Cthulhu mythos.
Cthulhu?
Yeah.
Isn't that like the sea serpent thing?
That's like the really creepy ancient god thing, yeah.
It's from the sea, though, right?
Not necessarily from the sea. Maybe. I'm not up to date on my Cthulhu because I don't read Lovecraft. So now we get into David Icke. Get off your phone.
I'm looking up Cthulhu.
We don't care about Cthulhu now.
I need to know if he's from the sea.
Miranda.
Fine.
Thank you.
Can neither confirm nor deny Cthulhu's from the sea.
The sea. So now we get into David Icke. It's actually spelled I-C-K-E, which to me sounds like icky or ick.
Yes, I was like.
It's pronounced Icke.
Are you sure?
Anyway.
I feel like he was really tired of people calling him Icky, and so he was like, it's pronounced Ike.
Well, so David Icke, he was born April 29th, 1952 in Leicester, England. He grew up poor and was not scholastically inclined, but he was a fairly good football player. He made...
I'm sorry, he just sounds like a cliche now.
He played until the age of 21 when he had to retire due to rheumatoid arthritis in his joints. And by that point, he was making about 33 euros a week, which would be about 350 euros today, or $415 USD.
Oh, that's not that much, honestly, for like a professional player.
Yeah.
That's like not even $15 an hour.
The way that English football teams work is a little weird. Okay, so after his retirement from football, he managed to land a job as a sports reporter with the BBC Leicester Radio. In 1981, he moved on to television sports reporting with BBC's Newsnight.
Wow.
He continued working for BBC Sport until 1990, including reporting on the 1988 Summer Olympics.
Ooh.
And by that point, he was considered a household name.
Really?
Yes. So he was ultimately fired by the BBC, however, in August 1990 for openly criticizing Margaret Thatcher's new poll tax.
Yikes.
And openly sharing his unwillingness to pay it. Oof. BBC, since it's chartered as an impartial public broadcasting service, needed to let him go after making such divisive statements.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Granted, he kind of started to go off the rails before this, but afterwards is when he really hit his stride in the
maybe
theory
he just
department.
Hit in the head with the ball too many times.
No.
Oh, dang it.
He became interested in alternative medicine in the 1980s as he attempted to get his arthritis under control.
Mm-hmm. We understand how that can be.
And this alternative medicine actually led to his interest in green politics.
Hmm.
So he published a book about his environmental views in 1989, titled It Doesn't Have to Be Like This. And due to his notoriety, he was invited to many high-profile events.
Honestly, that's a great book title, though.
Yeah, and the thing is, marketing he actually wrote other books before this. He wound up writing a lot of books.
Oh, wow.
The first ones had to do with, like, football and everything like that. And then this was his first non-football book. Despite his successes, however, he reported that in 1989, he was full of despair due to his arthritis pain.
Aww.
One notable episode of such despair occurred in March of 1990, when he was alone in a hotel room.
Mm-hmm.
According to a story, he had started feeling a presence around him around this period. He called out, shouting for the presence to contact him if it was really there.
Uh-huh.
Days later, he felt a force pull him to his feet in a newsagent's shop. It directed him to some books, one of which was Mind to Mind by psychic healer Betty Shrine. He took this as a sign. He read her book. And then he contacted her about helping him with his arthritis.
Oh.
So he wound up visiting Shrine about four times. And during one of these meetings, she reported that she had a message from one Wang Yi Li of the spirit world.
Mm.
According to Li, as stated through Shrine, he had been sent to Earth to heal it and would become famous for it, but he would face opposition.
Mm-hmm.
He would be given messages from the spirit world that he would pass on to others.
Ooh-doo-doo-doo.
And in February of 1991, he took a trip to Puno, Peru, and visited the Silustani burial ground. And the Silustani is a pre-Incan cemetery.
Mm.
He was drawn to stand in the middle of a circle of waist-high stones.
Oh, yes.
And he reportedly felt his body shake as if it was experiencing electric shock, and suddenly new ideas poured into him. Apparently, this was his chakras being activated, which allowed him access to a higher level of consciousness.
That's not how that works.
Apparently it is now.
I can assure you, that's not how that works.
The following month, he resigned from the Green Party, stating that soon he was going to be at the center of a controversy. A week after he resigned,
yes,
he, along with his wife, his daughter, and one Deborah Shaw, and more on his relationship with her in a moment, held a press conference announcing that Ike was the son of the Godhead.
The who?
The Godhead, according to Ike, was also known as the Infinite Mind.
Uh-huh.
He also announced that the world would end in 1997.
Woohoo! Let me see if that happened. Sorry.
So this was towards the beginning of what was known as his turquoise period.
Is it like his blue period?
Which is a time during which he began to wear only turquoise as he believed it was a conduit for positive energy.
I mean, our niece is having a pink period, so.
I'm having a pink life, man.
Hey.
So his relationship with Deborah Shaw.
Uh-huh.
Deborah was an English psychic working out of Alberta, Canada.
Uh-huh.
Ike met Shaw in August of 1990, so around the time that he was let go from the BBC. After he returned from Peru in 1991, they began a relationship with the blessing of his wife.
What?
In March 1991, she moved in with the family and changed her name to Marie Shawson. Ike's wife, Linda, changed her name to Michaela, like the archangel Michael.
Why'd she change her name?
I don't know.
I mean,
I don't know why anyone changed their name.
Do whatever you want with your relationships, as long as everyone's consenting, I suppose. I don't understand the changing of names for absolutely no reason.
Right. See, okay. I'm just seeing a lot of
narcissism
similarities with some destructive cults
yeah,
here.
I was like cult.
You know, like saying so, you're the chosen one, basically like the
cult
son of
activity.
God. And I'll get to this more in a different episode about, you know, cults and destructive cults in particular. But typically they have a few similarities, one of which is that the leaders usually, they're the chosen one. They know the truth. Other people might not. And so you basically have to rely on them and only them.
The higher power speaks only to them.
Exactly. Yeah. Also, a lot of the times they abuse their power, basically, in order to gain favors, I guess, from people. And I'm just going to call it that right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Of course, this is, you know, consenting and not necessarily at the same level as a lot of cults do this. So, the press referred to their arrangement as the Turquoise Triangle.
The press loves a good, some good alliteration.
They really do. And the relationship was short-lived, however, and it resulted in the birth of a daughter in December of 1991. Mm. Shaw and Ike had stopped seeing each other by that point, and Ike did not keep in contact with the daughter at Shaw's request. So, now we get into the Wogan interview. After the March 1981 press conference, claiming that he was the son of the Godhead, Ike was invited to interview on several different shows, one of which was Terry Wogan's Wogan Show. During this interview, Ike was subject to mockery from both Wogan and the audience for his claims. And ultimately, this led to public ridicule, which was something Ike had feared since he was a child.
Well, I mean, sometimes, if you give people the ammunition...
I mean, at this point, his beliefs weren't necessarily that problematic. Wogan actually apologized to Ike in 2006 when he interviewed him again. And he apologized for how he conducted the 1991 interview.
Yeah.
Yet in Wogan's autobiography, he claimed Ike to be a ranting demagogue convinced we were all manipulated sheep.
Sheeple!
Between 1991 and 1994, Ike wrote six books based on his New Age theories that were all published by mainstream publishers. These books offered an origin story for the planet, questioned the history of Jesus, and offered theories on how to heal the world. Like, he spoke of respect for Jesus, basically, but, like...
Jesus was, like, really okay. Cool, I guess, but I'm the real deal.
Yeah, basically. The last of the books published by mainstream publishers was The Robot's Rebellion, which was published in 1994, that claims that a shadowy, secret political faction, such as the Illuminati, is plotting for world domination. His next book, And the Truth Shall Set You Free, published in 1995, contained problematic material that was refused publication, which led to him establishing Bridge of Love Publications, later David Icke Publishing, in order to get the book self-published.
Was this in the 70s, perchance?
It's 1995. I literally just said that.
I wasn't listening. I heard
the year you were born, Marietta. You caused
love,
this.
Ashlyn, I heard Bridge of Love, and that's all that was going through my head.
No, but we'll get into the problematic material in a bit.
Oh, yeah, that's
because,
problematic enough.
Yeah, we've got an entire section on problems here. In The Biggest Secret, which was published in 1999.
I got a big secret. It's not really a secret. Ike is a little nutty. I'm trying.
Okay, so in The Biggest Secret, which was published in 1999, Ike states that many of the prominent figures of society are actually Archons. The Archons are a reptilian race from the Draco constellation who apparently came to Earth in pursuit of monoatomic gold.
Is Draco Malfoy one of them?
No, Miranda, Draco Malfoy is named after the Draco constellation. Miranda.
He is a Slytherin.
Oh, my God. I hate you for this. I hate you so much. I just realized what you meant.
Yeah.
Are the Malfoys lizard people? This is the question. I do not get paid enough for this, guys, okay?
You shouldn't get paid at all.
So, monoatomic gold. This metal, once consumed, can apparently increase the capacity of the Archon nervous system, allowing them to process an insane amount of knowledge, speed up their trans-dimensional travel, and shapeshift from reptile to human.
Uh-huh.
Ike claims that these Archons are the same as the Anunnaki from the Babylonian creation myth. They are also the same as the fallen angels or watchers that can be found in the biblical Apocrypha, which is a class of books that are included in only some Bibles, most often in the Anglican and Lutheran churches.
Interesting.
These watchers actually mated with human women. Basically, The Archons are a human/Anunnaki hybrid.
So I really feel like Doctor Who took a lot of this guy's stuff. Took a lot of cues.
No, actually, Doctor Who's Silurians came before all this.
Okay, then this guy just walked Doctor Who.
No, no.
I swear to God.
So these Archons are also known as the Babylonian Brotherhood.
Wow.
And despite being from the Draco constellation, Miranda, they are also from a different dimension, as I stated. Specifically, they are from the lower level fourth dimension, which is the closest dimension to the physical world. The reptilians actually control the Earth from the fourth dimension, although those reptilians are controlled by the ones on the fifth dimension and so on.
Okay.
As stated before, they live in the caverns of the Earth.
Yes.
And apparently, they are responsible for numerous global events, including Columbine, 9/11, chemtrails, the assassination of John F. Kennedy, the death of Princess Diana, creating the Axis and Allied powers of World War II, the creation of Israel, water fluoridation, the formation of the European Union, and global warming.
There's a lot of problems with that entire list being attributed to these. First of all, it takes away the severity, I feel like, you know what I mean?
I get what you mean, and we will get into that. Oh, believe me, we'll get into that. Especially that one word you said there. So, human sacrifices in ancient civilizations were apparently made for the Archons' benefit, especially sacrifices of children, because these reptilians engage in pedophilia and cannibalism.
Oh, no.
Ultimately, the reptilians want us all microchipped and controlled by their world government, which would also be like an Orwellian fascist state, wherein freedom of speech will have ended.
Great. I feel like we're headed there.
The only way to defeat these Archons is by people waking up, quote unquote.
Wake up, sheeple.
And filling their hearts with love. He describes the specific course of action to take as peaceful non-compliance.
Okay.
Basically, just don't listen to them, but also don't kill them.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it. That's his whole solution.
Wow. Jeez. Louise.
His 2012 book, Human Race, Get Off Your Knees, The Lion Sleeps No More. He explains that the reptiles use the moon to broadcast holographic experiences that we interpret as reality.
I can't.
Later, Saturn was also identified as a conduit.
Saturn, the planet?
Yeah. They use it to broadcast. Holographic experience, Miranda. And overall, Ike was also critical of the scientific method, claiming that the basis on which science judges reality is bullocks.
Love that.
Like, he first kind of denounced bullocks. All of science at first, and then someone asked him, like, how television works, and then he's like, okay, so not all of science is wrong, obviously, but, like, it's garbage. Oh, and fun fact, more recently.
Yes.
What are some conspiracy theories that you found were off the wall about certain global events happening?
Like, oh, global warming?
This year.
Or the pandemic.
The pandemic. Like, or how it originated.
Or that the government made it in a lab and exposed
No, even crazier.
I don't know.
What are some things that could have caused COVID-19, according to crazy conspiracy theorists?
I don't know, Ashlyn. I'm very confused.
Has something to do with our cell phones.
I have not heard anything of that.
The 5G towers?
I have not heard that.
Oh, you didn't hear that COVID-19 was caused by 5G?
No!
Yeah, no. Well, that's why some people were tearing down 5G towers.
What?
Yeah. What? You didn't know this?
No!
It's been in the news!
Not my news. My news tells me about other things.
How did you not know this?
I had never heard that.
It's one of the popular conspiracy theories that was like going around on Twitter and Facebook. Oh, and it's actually one of the reasons why Twitter and Facebook started locking down about the whole false or fake news and like fake conspiracy theory things. Ike was actually the originator of this.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Nutty old Ike.
Yeah, so he's the one that says COVID is caused by 5G towers. Yeah.
I never heard that, Ashlyn. Oh, you're staring at me like I was like, Ashlyn, I have no idea what you're talking
I'm
about.
I'm so surprised you haven't heard that. What are you doing on this podcast? Yes. So that's one of his newer conspiracy theories, is that COVID is caused by 5G towers.
How could any kind of technology that's not like chemical based or something like that cause an illness like that? Waves?
Like yeah, brain basically waves.
Woo! No.
Right, remember, the reality we experience is actually a holographic projection from the moon. Maybe Saturn.
I can't.
Maybe we've just graduated to Saturn holographic images by this point.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's how COVID happened.
I can't.
But no, in 2013, the public polling policy in America found that approximately 4% mm-hmm. of registered voters at least partially bought into the whole reptilian elite idea.
Oh, lovely.
Whereas 7% were just unsure. So, what impact has the lizard people theory had on society?
Doctor Who.
We'll get into that later.
That's it.
That's one of the popular culture references, okay?
That's the only
we'll
thing
get
I
into
think
pop
of.
Culture. Don't worry. First, we're going to talk about how problematic it is, though.
Oh, yes.
So, the big issue with the theory is mm-hmm. the potential anti-Semitism. As stated before, Robert E. Howard, you know, who wrote the Conan the Barbarian mm-hmm. books, who where the first literary
mentioned.
Record of lizard people
yes.
occurs, was well known that he was incredibly racist.
Big,
but
fat racist.
Mostly towards black people. Doesn't make it better.
No.
At all.
Racism is racism. It's still bad.
Upon meeting a biracial man in Louisiana at one point, Howard refused to refer to him as a person, instead opting to call him an it.
Yeah. Oh my god.
Yeah, this guy sucks. His Conan the Barbarian stories, however, usually didn't have anything to do with race, which is why people kind of latched onto them a little bit. And the serpent men were certainly not coded as any specific race. Mm-hmm. The use of these serpent men, however, alongside the racist H.P. Lovecraft's themes, yeah. also don't really do him any favors, though. So, mm-hmm. yeah. But it gets a little bit more in-depth than that.
Lovely.
So, David Icke denies all claims that he is an anti-Semite or a Holocaust denier.
Okay. So at least he's saying, I don't deny the Holocaust.
Yeah, kind of.
Wow, literally the least you could do. Ike, icky.
He is quoted as saying, divide and rule is the bottom line of all dictatorships. Arab is turning against Jew, black against white, right against left. Unplugging from the matrix means refusing to recognize these illusory false lines. We are all one. I refuse to see a Jew as different from an Arab and vice versa. They are both expressions of the one and need to be observed and treated the same, none more or less important than the other. I refuse to see black people in terms that I would not see white, nor to see the left as I would not see the right. How could it be any different, except when we believe the illusion of division is real? If we do that, the matrix has us.
Okay, so...
He's colorblind.
He's colorblind.
And all of the problems that go in with that.
The thing is, we shouldn't be blind to other people's races and heritage. We should embrace it, and we should, you know, celebrate it. I don't think we should ignore it completely.
So, the thing is, the human psyche is shaped by our perceived experiences.
Yeah.
And our race and how other people react to our race and the issues that go into all of that has a heavy impact on our psyches. Mm-hmm. So how I relate to the world will not be the same as how a black individual will relate to the world. That sort of thing. I can try and see it from their point of view, but I will never have actually lived through those experiences. Mm-hmm. So even how you perceive you would respond in that situation, which is what, you know, empathy would be, you can't
exactly
understand where they were coming from with it. Saying all that, while he's, you know, trying to be very above it all and everything is still problematic.
Yeah.
In a huge way, because also by saying that, he's kind of denying the struggles that other
yeah.
races have gone through. And so even though he holds these ideas, however, the idea that the lizard people theory is anti-Semitic does not come from nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
So first I want to introduce a little bit about the Rothschilds empire.
Okay.
Have you heard of the Rothschild
no.
family? Okay, so I really hadn't heard too much either, because the thing is, in America, they're not really that talked about.
Yeah.
So the Rothschilds family is a wealthy Jewish family that dates back to the 16th century.
Yee.
They rose to prominence around the 1760s when Meyer Amschel Rothschild established his banking business in the free city of Frankfurt in the Holy Roman Empire.
Nice.
He went on to pass his wealth on to his five sons, who took the business international by establishing banks in Paris, London, Vienna, Frankfurt, and Naples.
Good for them.
They rose to a noble ranking within the Holy Roman Empire.
Nice.
And by the 19th century, they were the richest family in the world.
Wow.
Their fortune was actually the largest private fortune in modern human history.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Their massive wealth would dissipate in the 20th century, however, as it was being split amongst many descendants. And today, their businesses cover a wide range of topics, including winemaking, banking, agriculture, real estate, and nonprofits.
Wow.
They own several, like, castles throughout Europe. Like, several castles.
Yeah, we just own a lot of castles.
Well, and at one point, I don't know if they do now, but they owned part of what is the richest district in the UK.
Wow.
Which I think is also one of the richest districts in the entire world. So there's that. I don't know if they do now, but their influence is heavily seen as far as their decorations and things like that go.
Yeah.
Very opulent, lavish.
Sweet.
And yeah, no, it's actually really incredible looking at this.
Yeah.
They have been involved with some world events.
Yeah.
They've issued war bonds during some war times. No. They aided Brazil in buying its freedom from Portugal.
The Brazil.
And they almost single-handedly financed the British war effort in the Napoleonic Wars.
Jeez Louise.
Due to their influence, however, in conjunction with the fact that they are Jewish, that makes them the subject of many conspiracies, especially those accusing them of secretly controlling the entire world.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. A lot of these are rooted in anti-Semitism.
More money, more problems.
Yeah. And of course, Ike believes that the Rothschild bloodline is reptilian.
Of course.
So those are the Rothschilds. And Ike did talk about them in relation to the whole lizard people theory. Left a bad taste in
I could
several
only
people's
imagine.
Mouths. They're not the only family that Ike accused of being reptilian.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see why it gets problematic in a moment.
Wonderful.
So, Ike's ideas of a shadowy organization planning world domination in The Robots' Rebellion, which I said was his book published in 1994, appeared to echo concerns laid out in The Protocols of the Elders of Zion. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
Yeah, see, okay, the problem is that, yes, I had not heard of this before. And the big problem with it is that this is an incredibly important and terrible document. And I feel like we should have heard about it before. I don't know why we hadn't. So, the Protocols of the Elders of Zion. They were serialized in 1903 by a Russian newspaper. And it was a literary forgery, meaning that it was fabricated but was written to seem as if it were true.
Okay. Love that.
And it's thought that it was written under the direction of the Russian secret police. So the protocols blame Jewish people for many ills in the world and claim that they are trying to dominate the world.
You know, Ashlyn, I thought this was going to be a fun episode.
It was supposed to. And
funny
then
lizard people, and then you had to... I know you didn't ruin it for me, but, like, I always feel like you ruined it for me.
I know, because knowledge always ruins it for people, huh?
I know. I was here for a good time, and it's just, you're really bumming me out.
So, the protocol spread throughout the world following the Russian Revolution of 1917, where, and this was when Russia was kind of turning more toward a freedom-oriented kind of country,
nice.
Which would have given more power to the
people,
everyday person,
yeah.
And a large portion of that would have been the Jewish population that they had. And the thing is, the people who had been in power before that didn't really like that.
Yeah.
So this was probably them trying to put a damper on
the party,
on the power, basically, that the people could have had.
The power party.
So, yes, they spread throughout the world after the Russian Revolution of 1917. Henry Ford published a series of articles based on the protocols that were later included in the book The International Jew. This action was later praised by Adolf Hitler and Joseph Goebbels.
No.
Speaking of Hitler, It's likely that the protocols were what inspired his hatred of the Jewish people.
Oh my God, you can't, you know, anytime you hear a segue that is speaking of Hitler.
No, but this document has been used for so much evil in the world. It is
so uncomfy.
Oh no, it's bad.
And I just got tingles of uncomfy. Not good tingles.
I know.
Bad tingles.
I was reading this and I'm like, oh, this is horrifying. Great. So
Hitler believed in lizard people?
No, so this was before the whole lizard people theory was tied into it, remember? No, the issue was that some of what Ike was saying in The Robots Rebellion seemed to echo some ideas of the protocols.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
So,
again, speaking of Hitler.
No.
It's likely that the protocols were what inspired his hatred of Jewish people.
No.
As he was introduced to them in the early 1920s and referenced them in his early political speeches. The protocols were also taught in schools following the Nazis coming to power in 1933.
No!
No! All of this happened despite the fact that in 1921, the London Times exposed the protocols to be a clumsy fabrication.
Yeah.
A large part of the propaganda had been copied from a French political satire, Maurice Joly's 1864 novel, Dialogue in Hell Between Machiavelli and Montesquieu, which notably had no mention of Jewish people.
Let me tell you, this is a dialogue in hell for me.
That's the new name of our podcast.
Dialogue in hell. Rebranding, guys. Oh. I'm just kidding. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and other fictional books
They took a bunch of stuff out of context.
Yeah, they also took some stuff in context. They did take some from actual anti-Semitic novels and things like that.
Why?
Because they gross.
I just don't understand it.
This wasn't even the first part of, you know, being anti-Semitic in history, of course. Like, anti-Semitism started well before these protocols.
Yes.
But these protocols, they acted as propaganda for a lot of groups, which went on to commit devastating and horrifying acts onto the world. So, yeah, I get mad about it. The protocols have since been the subject of several court cases wherein the courts repeatedly denounced them as a fabricated hoax that promotes hatred of the Jewish people. However, the protocols continue to be distributed throughout the world.
Why?
They're often used by neo-Nazis, white supremacists, Holocaust deniers, and Islamic extremists.
I swear to goodness.
The influence for Ike, however, comes from...
punch a Nazi.
Where the protocols tie in for Ike actually comes from what he read in a 1991 Milton William Cooper book, Behind a Pale Horse. Now,
Why was he standing behind a pale horse?
I don't know. Ask Cooper.
What a weird place to stand.
So Cooper was part of the American militia movement, which also had an impact on Ike's work. But chapter 15 of Behind a Pale Horse reproduces the protocols in full. The Robots Rebellion does, in fact, refer repeatedly to the protocols, but it calls them the Illuminati protocols.
Hey, don't bring the Illuminati into this.
The Illuminati being the quote-unquote brotherhood at the top of the pyramid of secret societies worldwide.
I mean, that is true. However,
I think Ike is also where we kind of get the idea that the Illuminati is actually evil.
I mean, I don't personally think the Illuminati is evil because, I mean, Beyonce is clearly part of the Illuminati.
Miranda.
I think Taylor Swift is too now.
Stop this. Anyway, so Ike denies the idea that the protocols are a forgery. However,
of course he does.
However, he believes that the protocols are really about the reptilian elite, not the Jewish people.
I suppose that's better.
I don't know, quite frankly, because the protocols have been used to wreak such devastating havoc.
Yeah.
I
just don't know if it can get better.
It really, I don't necessarily think so. He's quoted as saying, if you've read my book, you will see that it says very clearly that this is not a Jewish conspiracy. The only time protocols or Jews have been mentioned a tone of my lectures is when there's been a question from the floor. And yes, Ike has gone out to lecture at many different...
I've got to say, if you have to say, it's not about Jewish people, I swear.
You might want to rethink.
You're doing something wrong.
Probably. But also, so Ike has this history of like taking all of those conspiracy theories in the world and like making crafting them or like kind of changing them a little bit to make his.
To make it about lizard people?
Yeah, basically. Or to make it about like his worldview, basically. It's not all lizard people, Miranda. Remember? Okay. We got holographic images from the movie. It's basically all a matrix. We start to get into this whole idea of taking things that have definite anti-Semitic tones or racist tones, and at what point do they become not racist, you know?
Yeah, that's a great question.
Like, can you actually take racism out of a work once it's been in there?
I don't think so.
I mean, you might be able to. And actually, this theory is probably one of the ones that you could take the racism out of, depending on how you portray
it.
I'll get more into that in a bit.
Okay.
The Robots Rebellion was really when people were like, dude, this is, we think this is anti-Semitism.
And he's like, I don't believe in race.
I don't believe in religion or race or,
everybody's the same.
Yeah.
Nobody's any different from anyone else, period. We've all had the same experience.
Yeah. And so enough people found issue with his statements in the Robots Rebellion that he was officially kicked out of the Green Party. They're like, you're not allowed back here, man.
They're like, okay.
Bye.
He's gone far enough this time.
So his next novel, 1995's And the Truth Shall Set You Free, did not do anything to help the allegations of anti-Semitism.
I love that. Mm-hmm.
In one particular chapter, he questions the Holocaust.
Oh, no.
Positing that Adolf Hitler was partially funded by the Warburgs of the Rothschilds family. Because the Rothschilds, in his mind, were part of the reptilian elite that, you know, pulled all the strings. And since they had money and they, you know, had historically funded some countries in wars... So some people, some conspiracy theorists basically believe that they might have done this in order to sell more war bonds.
No.
However, with the way that war bonds work, they actually stood to lose money off of conflicts like this.
Yeah.
Meaning that there's no actual reason why they would have done this.
Yeah.
Unless they were the reptilian elite, which they were not, okay? Like, stop.
They were just very successful people.
He also claimed... that schools were indoctrinating students. A quote from this book says, "Why do we play a part in suppressing alternative information to the official line of the Second World War? How is it right that while this fierce suppression goes on, free copies of the Spielberg film Schindler's List are given to schools to indoctrinate children with the unchallenged version of events? And why do we, who say we oppose tyranny and demand freedom of speech, allow people to go to prison and be vilified and magazines to be closed down on the spot for suggesting another version of history?"
Because you can't have another version of history.
Yeah.
It happened the way it happened.
Yeah. See, that's really... that's horrible.
Yeah.
Is what it is. Alternative history... I don't care what your alternative histories might be. The thing is, this is what happened. This is what impacted people.
Yep.
A lot of our psyches, it doesn't actually matter what happened. It matters how we perceived what happened. Jeez. And the thing is, even if it's, you know, the reptilian elite pulling all the strings or whatever, the fact is that it's still how we're perceiving reality.
And also...
and it's how everyone perceived reality, collectively.
It happened.
I'm just saying, even if an iota of what he was saying could have
It doesn't
been
matter
true.
For perceiving reality that way. Perceiving reality in that case, it means it happened to all of us.
Honestly, that's really what history is. It's how we human beings perceived the reality around us. And this was no biased account. I just... It gets me. All right, so on one hand, he claims... "The Brotherhood which controls the world today is the modern expression of the Babylonian Brotherhood of Reptile, Aryan, Priests, and Royalty." Wherein he clarifies Aryan meaning white. So basically, reptile people are usually white people. On the other hand, however,
what
he believes...
me.
On the other hand, however, he believes that the Rothschild family is not only part of the reptilian elite, but also blood-drinking Satan worshippers.
Oh my god! Ashlyn, I'm done with this. I don't want to hear it anymore.
And this is believed to be a revival of medieval anti-Semitic attitudes.
I'm done with his idiotness.
Really, it's thought that anyone with a large influence could be a lizard person.
Yeah, but...
And they're not the only family that he suggested could be blood-drinking Satan worshippers.
Why blood-drinking Satan worshippers?
I don't know.
God, he's just crazy, Ashlyn.
I don't know. I don't know why the lizard elite would want to drink the blood when they could just eat the monoatomic gold, you know? But whatever. So, people that he believed were lizard people were ancient rulers, mm-hmm. many celebrities, mm-hmm. all American presidents.
There is a theory that Beyonce is also a lizard person.
Mm-hmm. Many British politicians, and the British royal family. Now, he specifically did not like Queen Elizabeth.
You have certain thoughts that we're not
going to... Yeah, Queen Elizabeth's not the worst of them, okay? Like, I'll give her that.
There is a good question of why she's been alive this long time.
Well, again, she is apparently a blood-drinking Satan worshiper, according to Ike.
You know. Clearly!
So, while it's not out of the blue for him to say that about the Rothschild family, it's still problematic. The reason the Rothschilds are brought into this is because they are a successful Jewish family. Whether or not Ike meant to be anti-Semitic, however, several people have used the theory to push their anti-Semitic agendas. And he did give them plenty of basis to do so. One could possibly argue that his beliefs actually paint Jewish people as a victim of the reptilian elite. But by refusing to denounce the protocols, which even today put the lives of Jewish people at risk, that isn't a good enough reason, like, to include the protocols. I'm sorry.
Also, and
like,
even if he is just that big of an idiot...
He might be.
It's still anti-Semitic, and you can't say stuff like that, dude.
Well, and like I said, I mean, also his other theories, including the whole 5G and COVID thing, actually led to, like, a lot of destruction.
My theory is he took a bunch of acid and then watched Doctor Who. And then picked up this other book.
Oh, good Lord.
And that's how we got where we are today. That's my theory, and I'm sticking to it.
I don't necessarily think Doctor Who had anything to do with it.
I do.
I think...
It's too close. No. Sorry, it's just too close. I think it's he took a bunch of acid and then watched Doctor Who and then read this racist book.
So the thing is, so the theory in pop culture, there's no doubt that, you know, this theory has had an imprint on society, mm-hmm. of course. And it's given way to countless other theories about, like, about people we just perceive as having the power, you know. Like
yes.
Other Illuminati things. Also, the whole, you know, Paul McCartney is dead theory and the
Avril Lavigne
clone thing. Yeah. All of those. So, those kind of feed off of this. And references can be found in our media. So, now we're getting to the Doctor Who Silurians, finally. Miranda.
Yes. I've been waiting for
this. These are almost verbatim, like, the Serpent Men in Robert Howard's thing. So, the Silurians in Doctor Who are an ancient race of reptilian humanoids who retreat under the surface of the Earth when they fear atmospheric change when the quote-unquote Earth captured the moon.
How'd that happen?
Basically, the moon came into the Earth's orbit and it changed the atmosphere. This race, however, was in hibernation for a considerable amount of time, and they were never accused of pulling any strings within the Doctor Who universe.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they might have had some helping influence or something, but they definitely were not the ones controlling everything.
Except, wasn't one of them the Prime Minister?
No, one of them was helping the Prime Minister, but that was in an aborted timeline. Anyway.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Yeah. It's been a while since Miranda's watched 11.
Jesus. There's so many episodes, okay.
Yeah. So that's the Silurians. So I don't think that he really took that from Doctor Who.
But if he was on acid...
He could have also been reading while on acid, Miranda.
That's what I said. He watched Doctor Who on acid, and then he read a racist book.
He might have read the racist book first. He might have read more than one racist book and never watched Doctor Who. He might have never watched Doctor Who, Miranda.
Leave my theory alone.
I prefer it if you never watched Doctor Who. I do not want to have anything in common with this man.
It's BBC television. What do you want?
However, one of the more problematic iterations of the lizard people actually occurs in Netflix's The Umbrella Academy.
I think I watched all of the first season except for the last two episodes.
So, The Umbrella Academy employs the lizard people theory quite explicitly, but the manner in which it does is kind of problematic. And this is specific to the Netflix show, not the source material. And here's why. So, for the most part, using the theory is not inherently anti-Semitic. The theory existed before Ike, although he is responsible for filling in a lot of the background information. Oh, yes. You know? So, again, thinking that, oh, there's a race of lizard people out there controlling the strings. Not inherently anti-Semitic. It's when you put a lot of the ideology of Ike behind it that it gets kind of problematic. And also start relating it to the protocols that it gets really problematic. Despite the fact that using it's not inherently anti-Semitic, there is a danger in it. Like, if people who subscribe to the philosophy are impressionable, which if they're already believing in lizard people, they probably are, it could be used to kind of, like, introduce people to this ideology, this anti-Semitic ideology, you know, like, further down the line. Like, slowly they become engrossed in it, and if they buy into this theory, then, oh, well, what is it based off of? Mm-hmm. Oh, well, this makes too much sense because now I already believe, you know, all the stuff leading up to it, you know?
Yeah.
So you got to be careful about that. In the case of the Umbrella Academy, there is one particular throwaway scene that makes for a very uncomfortable viewing. So the handler, who's the one who basically leads the lizard people, speaks to them in Yiddish so that her prisoners won't understand the conversation, which is incredibly problematic for a few reasons.
Yeah.
It's an incredibly intentional choice, seeing as the source work for the series, which is a comic book series by Gerard Way, of My Chemical Romance, and Gabriel Ba, did not include the use of Yiddish at all in the source material.
Yeah.
And so perhaps someone thought that it was that they should include it as a clever Easter egg for those familiar with the conspiracy. But considering the role that the protocols have played in society, in particular Hitler's rise to power and the Holocaust, the move feels intentionally anti-Semitic.
Mm-hmm.
So that... yeah, that's very uncomfy.
Like, why do you have to include that if it...
And apparently it's only in, like, one or two scenes.
I just don't understand the point.
There was no real point. It's like, you didn't have to
do
it.
You could have literally made up a language.
Yeah, also, the source material doesn't use it.
But also, if you wanted to put that little bit of, like, subtext in there or something, like, oh, she's, you know, a different... creature or something, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You could have just made up a language, you know, if they were trying to allude to her being
actually
in cahoots with the lizard people or a lizard person or something. Mm-hmm. She could have just spoke gibberish, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
and see,
make
that,
up a language.
That's actually, like, a really thin line, though, between, you know, where the conspiracy theory seems like fun, harmless, you know, craziness versus, you know, racist and anti-Semitic, because in the source material for the Umbrella Academy, they just didn't include the Yiddish. And so it had no link to, like, the Jewish people.
Because Umbrella Academy is written by, isn't it the lead singer of My Chemical Romance?
I just said Gerard Way of My Chemical Romance.
I was Randy focused on Umbrella Academy. Sorry, I was trying to figure out.
No, but yes, he's a person I respect.
Yeah, and I hear he's a great person, and I hear it's a great comic book to read. Graphic novel to read.
Yeah, and the fact is that the way they utilized the whole, lizard people are controlling society, when they didn't have any connection to Jewish people with it, it was fine. But then when you add in the subtext, it's not even overt. It's a subtext, which almost makes it worse. If, you know, they were overtly Jewish, people would be like, oh, yeah, they're definitely, you know, anti-Semitic here. This is ridiculous. But just using Yiddish in a couple lines as they're conversing, it's so subtle, it's almost sinister, you know? And that's the fine line between it. Like, if you're... You can have it for, you know, harmless fun. But if you include any connection to Jewish people, you're doing a bad friend.
Yeah.
Honestly, it makes for an interesting theory. I kind of prefer the Illuminati.
Yeah.
But also, a lot of people believe that anything discussing a shadowy society controlling all the strings is inherently anti-Semitic because of the whole protocols thing.
Yeah.
Like, because they believe that it's then Jewish.
Why you gotta ruin it for everybody, guys?
I know.
Why you gotta ruin all the fun stuff with racism?
I guess the takeaway from this is that, you can have fun with conspiracy theories, but...
don't be racist.
Yeah, you need to be aware of some of the implications of it so that you can avoid furthering destructive beliefs and destructive ideas.
So if you agree with my theory of where Ike got his... got his theories about the lizard people, feel free to message us at matterthanacaterpillar@gmail.com. You could also contact us on Instagram and matterthanacaterpillar.
And if you have some theories that are not rooted in racism relating to this theory, like, I don't know, who's some big shot white dude that, you know, you think is a lizard person or something, you know? White dudes are an easy target.
Bring him down a peg.
So if you've got any fun, not racist-based theories regarding lizard people, go ahead and send them to us. Make this a little bit more lighthearted. You can tweet them at us on Twitter at MatterThanACat, or you can slide into our DMs there. That's great, too.
Yeah. You can now find us on Facebook at ITYW podcast, or just type in "I'll tell you what." Unfortunately, there's no ellipses because Facebook wouldn't let me do that.
What if you search one of our names? Would that work?
I don't think so.
Oof.
I don't know all the ways you can find it, but you can find our Facebook page where we're posting lots of fun things. You can interact with us more. You can also message us on there or interact on our posts. I'm very excited about it. You could also try finding our
TikTok,
however, it is what it is.
I've actually got some ideas I want to share with you about the whole TikTok thing, but we'll wait until after we're off the whole recording business here. Don't forget to rate and review our podcast as well on your favorite podcasting platforms, because that really helps us out. It helps other people find us. Also, you know, don't forget to mark your calendars for our season one finale. We're very excited for it.
And it's coming the Tuesday before Thanksgiving.
Yes. And so you have that to look out for.
Sorry about all the rumbling upstairs.
I'm not. It adds to our charm.
And with that, we'll leave you with this. Tell your mom.
Tell your dad.
Tell your friends.
Tell the FBI agent listening through your phone.
And tell the lizard person that lives in your closet. And good night.
You know, I was starting to feel a little bad because, like, the thing is, we haven't heard the crickets in a while. So clearly we need the ambient noise.
Get out of here. I'm done.